Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, June 21st, 2022, Psalm 25.
Your husband's pizza place was broken into twice?
In 48 hours.
Have T stay there and shoot those bastards.
He's about to sleep there for that.
Now, I can see breaking in to eat the pizza. Because it's the best pizza in town. But break in and take the money? Why? Have they caught the guy?
No.
Or guys? Or?
No.
Well, I'll sleep over there.
Yeah, he's about there.
And we will definitely find out, get their fingerprint after they're dead. It's easy to get their fingerprint. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Psalm 25, this acrostic psalm. The greatest acrostic psalm, of course, is Psalm 119, which we have taught here. And this is another acrostic psalm going through the Hebrew alphabet. It's a great way to communicate doctrines, categorical doctrines, as you go through. And for the one who is writing that, the human author easily can remember everything as you go through the alphabet, remember the doctrines. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Psalm 25, the human author is David, one of the great, great believers in all time. The greatest king in Israel's history. David serves as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And most of the Psalms were written by human author David. Of course, all Scripture is written by God the Holy Spirit. And in this great acrostic psalm, David has been driven out of his palace in Jerusalem by his own son, Absalom. And Absalom has usurped his father's authority as king. He has formed a revolution. People from all 12 tribes in Israel, and you have to be living in the cosmic system to get involved in conspiracy, arrogance, and revolution. They joined Absalom's revolution. Ahithophel was in there. He was the head of the State Department under David, probably the greatest genius in Israel at that time. But he also hates David at this point and joined the revolution because his granddaughter is Bathsheba. And David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he murdered her husband. Now, we noted on, I believe it's on a Wednesday night class, that the greatest of believers fail. And all throughout scriptures, the greatest of believers fail. David is a clear example. The Apostle Paul, another example. And we're studying the four failures recorded in the Word of God of the Apostle Paul on Wednesday night. David, a man after the Lord's own heart, not because he committed adultery or murdered, but like all believers fail. The greatest of believers fail. And each one of you in here, all of you have failed. So don't get on your self-righteous high horse and start judging, slandering, and maligning others. We all fail. Even the greatest of believers fail. But David has recovered. David went through warning discipline, intensive discipline, and came very close to dying discipline. He wound up being delivered by God. He rebounded, got back in fellowship with God, but then he had to write out 15 years of installment discipline. Four different installments over 15 years. And he's done that. He's done that. He's been driven out of power. He's no longer the king. He's living in the desert south of Jerusalem. Some of the establishment forces went with him, and they are with him. And David wrote this psalm at that time, Psalm 25. We are in the last paragraph, which is David's prayer for deliverance. As David writes Psalm 25, he is at the very last part of his installment discipline. He has totally recovered. He is a spiritually mature believer. He is a grace righteous believer. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Because he is a grace righteous believer, the prayers of a grace righteous believer are powerful and effective and accomplish much. James 5 verse 16. Well, we see that here, the application in David's life and the last part of this great psalm, Psalm 25. So far in this last paragraph of Psalm 25, we've studied verses 16 to 19 of David's prayer, and it sounds like this in corrected translation. Turn to me, and by the way, it's in the imperative mood, but this is the imperative of entreaty. You never command God in your prayers, but there is the imperative of entreaty, which is a polite command. And so you could translate this, please hear my prayer. And that's how you would translate the imperative of entreaty. And there's a lot of commands through here, but they're all, every time you hear me say that's in the imperative mood, that's the imperative of entreaty. Please hear my prayer and be gracious to me because I am isolated and afflicted. He's under great adversity and pressures. Verse 17, the pressures, the troubles, the distress of my heart have increased. May you bring me out from my pressures and distresses. That is, deliver me. Deliver me from personal disaster. Deliver me from national disaster. Verse 18. Look at my affliction. This is soul pressure from the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. And my trouble. The four installments of divine discipline that he has been writing out. And take away the punishment for all my sins. Verse 19. Look at my enemies, because they have multiplied and they hate me with the hatred of violence. Well, actually, we've got to start a study on that. The Bible has a lot to say about the mental attitude sin of hatred. And so we have been studying that last week. We noted that David's greatest enemies are fellow believers, Absalom and Ahithophel. And they hate David. They hate David with a hatred of violence. Their mental attitude sin of hate not only motivates sins of the tongue, such as slander, maligning, and judging David, but also violence. They want to kill David. David's enemies are under the delusion that they are great believers, but they're not. They're loser believers. Both Absalom and Ahithophel will die the sin unto death. They are loser believers. They think they're great believers, but they're not. The reality is that they are living in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system. Cosmic 1, interlocking systems of arrogance. Cosmic 2, interlocking systems of hatred. And they are functioning by the arrogant skills, not the spiritual skills. What are the arrogant skills? Well, first of all, self-deception. You deceive yourself. You think you're a great believer when you're a loser believer. That's self-deception. You operate by self-justification. You justify your arrogant and bad decisions that you make. You operate by self-absorption, preoccupation with self, self-centeredness. David's enemies are fulfilling the principles that the Apostle John taught in our Thursday night class. 1 John 2:9 and 1 John 2:11. 1 John 2:9. Anyone who claims, alleges, contends that he's living in the light, fellowshipping with God, but hates, detests, and persecutes his fellow believer, he keeps on living in darkness, Satan's cosmic system, up to the present moment. And then John goes on, 1 John 2:11. But the one who hates his fellow believer, he is in the darkness, Satan's cosmic system, and he walks in the darkness. That is, he's living his life in the cosmic system. And he absolutely does not know where he is going, because the darkness has caused the eyes of his heart to be blinded. When you hate someone, you are making yourself totally and completely unhappy. You can never enjoy anything in life that you have previously enjoyed. This results in permanent residence in the cosmic system, making the believer the enemy of God. You cannot hate fellow believers without being totally arrogant and totally divorced from reality. Because you are totally divorced from reality, you justify your mental attitude sins of hatred and anger and bitterness. You justify your sins of the tongue, judging, slandering, maligning. And you justify your persecution and violence toward others. As long as you are living in the darkness of the cosmic system, you cannot see yourself for what you really are. You cannot even see that you have a problem. And you cannot even define the problem that you have. As long as a believer is alive, however, recovery is possible. And the recovery starts with rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That gets you back in fellowship with God. That's the start of your recovery. That is then must be followed by thousands and thousands of good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. But the longer a believer lives in the cosmic system, the more difficult his recovery becomes. When the believer stays in the Satan's cosmic system too long, he enters into psychopathic and sociopathic arrogance. And this characterizes many Christians today. You enter into psychopathic and sociopathic arrogance that often leads to permanent residence in the cosmic system. Now he is hopelessly trapped apart from the grace of God. Winner believers like David will be hated by both believers and unbelievers living in the cosmic system. And this was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we studied this. John chapter 15, verses 18 to 21. The winner believer will be hated. Why will the winner believer be hated? Because they hated Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, they hate me, they will hate you as well. The spiritually mature believer will, however, look with triumph on those who hate him because the Lord is with him, Psalm 118, verse 7. The carnal reversionistic believer in the cosmic system disguises his mental attitude sin of hatred with lies. Lies. Now, this shouldn't be a surprise to you because he's living in Satan's cosmic system. Who is his mentor? His mentor is the devil. John 8:44 tells us, and again, Jesus Christ is the one who taught this. He tells us and taught that Satan, or the devil, is the liar from the beginning and the father of all lies. So when you as a believer are living in the cosmic system, You disguise your mental attitude sin of hatred with lies because you are now the disciple of the devil. You're not the disciple of Jesus Christ. The arrogant evil believer in the cosmic system is a deceptive liar and waits for an opportune time to express his hate. Proverbs 27, verse 6. The mental attitude sin of hate expresses itself with sins of the tongue, lying and deception. Proverbs 26, verse 28. Those living in the cosmic system are full of evil, arrogance, and mental attitude sins such as hatred that desires to harm others by character assassination and violence. Their mental attitude sin of hate motivates lying, misrepresentation, malicious gossip, slander, judging, and violence to crush or destroy their victim. Such people, however, bring destruction on themselves. The believer living in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system hates the absolute truth of the Word of God. He hates the grace and truth of God's Word. Proverbs 1:20-33. And that's where we stopped in our study last time. That was 11 points. So, point 12. You're sitting there too smug. Point 12. The believer who hates the Word of God, Bible doctrine, loves the sin unto death. The believer who hates Bible doctrine, the Word of God, loves the sin unto death. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Now there are a couple of chapters in Proverbs that where we have the personification of wisdom. Now the word wisdom in the Hebrew is chokmah. Looks like that in the Hebrew. That's C-H, that's a chometz hatuf. Not a chometz, a chometz hatuf. So that's an O. K-M-A-H. Chokmah. And chokmah, well, literally it means to be a professional, skilled at something. The artisans of the tabernacle and making all the items in the tabernacle were said to be skilled, chokmah, in what they did. It came to be used of being skilled and professional in the Word of God. You know the Word of God, you believe it. As soon as you believe it, it goes into your heart. Now, in your heart, it's wisdom. Wisdom is only in the hearts of believers who believe the Word of God. You don't have wisdom if you sit there and reject the Word of God. And I've had believers sit here and reject the Word of God. They don't have wisdom. They are just arrogant, that's all. They have a lot of human viewpoint garbage, but they don't have truth. Wisdom is hearing the Word of God and believing it. Your volition goes positive, you believe it. Now it goes into your heart. Once it's in your heart, now it's chokmah. Wisdom. Well, there's a couple of chapters. Chapter 1, we have the personification of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, we have the personification of wisdom again. So wisdom is viewed here as a person. And the one doing the talking is wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse 32. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me. Wisdom, Bible doctrine. For happinesses to those who keep my ways. Heed instruction, my word, Bible doctrine, and be wise, and do not neglect it. Happinesses to the man who listens to me, Bible doctrine. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. What is that? That's where the Word of God was taught. So this means that if you bring this over to where we are, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Watching daily at my gates. Consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine. For he who finds me finds life and obtains greater grace blessing from the Lord. But he who sins against me, Bible doctrine, injures himself, reversionism, and all those who hate me, Bible doctrine, love death, the sin unto death. Proverbs 8:36. So the believer who hates Bible doctrine loves the sin unto death. Point 13. The believer walking in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system, he hates rebuke. He hates rebuke. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9, starting at verse 7. Whoever corrects a mocker or a scorner invites insult. Whoever rebukes a reversionistic believer will incur abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or scorner, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, that's a spiritually mature believer, and he will love you. You rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, a grace-righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer, and he will add to his learning. And this is absolute truth, and I've seen this. I've been here 45 years now. I've been here 45 years, and I'm only 47. Deb and I got married when we were arranged marriage at the age of 3. And I've had, actually the Word of God does the rebuking. All I do is teach the Word of God. God, the Holy Spirit, takes the Word of God and does the rebuking. And most of the time, those people that are rebuked by the Word of God, they hate you. But I can always tell the winner believer. Because the winner believer, and on a few occasions, those people have come back into my office and said, "Pastor Olson, thank you. Thank you, sir. Everything you said was exactly right. You were 100% right. I was 100% wrong. And I want to thank you for taking the time to rebuke me and make that clear. And it will never, ever happen again." And then he turned around and walked out. And I, with every one of those people, wasn't not a lot, those are going to be winner believers. They are going to be believers who make it. And that is the absolute truth of the Word of God. Now, turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Again, now we have the personification of wisdom in Proverbs 1, starting at verse 20. See, it says, "Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public square." This is where the Word of God was taught. So, again, the personification of wisdom. And in verse 24, "But since you rejected me," wisdom, Bible doctrine, "when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke." Now, look down at verse 30. Well, so we could start verse 29. "Since they hated Bible doctrine and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and they spurned my rebuke." So the believer walking in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system hates rebuke. 14. The loser believer in the cosmic system has rejected the truth and believed the lie. And consequently, he will not respond to the rebuke of the Word of God. Consequently, he will not respond to the rebuke of the Word of God. He has rejected the truth and believed the lie. Consequently, he will not respond to the rebuke of the Word of God. 15. The arrogant loser living in the cosmic system hates the spiritually mature believer and will even seek to kill him. Proverbs 29, verse 10. The arrogant loser believer living in the Satan's cosmic system hates the spiritually mature believer and will even try to kill him. Turn over to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 10. Bloodthirsty men hate a man of integrity. That is a grace-righteous believer. That, and grace-righteous believer is a spiritually mature believer. Bloodthirsty men hate a man of integrity, and they seek to kill the upright, the grace-righteous believer, or the spiritually mature believer. Proverbs 29, verse 10. And this is exactly where Absalom and Ahithophel are. They hate David, and they are trying as hard as possible to kill David. 16. The mental attitude sin of hate motivated Absalom and Ahithophel to go from mental arrogance to conspiracy arrogance to criminal arrogance. The mental attitude sin of hate motivated Absalom and Ahithophel to go from mental arrogance to conspiracy arrogance to criminal arrogance. The mental attitude sin of hate becomes the motivation for Operation Revenge. The mental attitude sin of hate becomes the motivation for Operation Revenge. Now, a couple of subpoints underneath this. One, Operation Revenge is a loser believer living in Satan's cosmic system. Operation Revenge is a loser believer living in Satan's cosmic system. Two, the Word of God is very, very clear. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, not to the believer. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, not to the believer. And this was taught in the Old Testament. This was taught in the New Testament. Let's go to the Old Testament first. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Leviticus 19, 18. Do not seek revenge, or do not bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. That's impersonal love for all. That demands virtue love being brought to completion in your heart. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. But love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll start at verse 19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. This is virtue love brought to completion in your heart. This is impersonal love for all. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is grace righteous production. Three, subpoint three. So vengeance belongs to the Lord, not to the believer. Three, the winner believer treats those who hate him with virtue love. That's Romans 12:20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. The winner believer treats those who hate him with virtue love, Romans 12:20. He can only do that because he has personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. You will never have impersonal love for all till you have personal love for God the Father. That's the motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. Point 18, the winner believer puts those who hate him in the Lord's hands and leaves it there. The winner believer puts those who hate him in the Lord's hands and leaves it there, and has total confidence that God will handle it. All right. So far, we have studied verses 16 through 19 in David's prayer for deliverance. Now that brings us to verse 20. Verse 20 is the Sheen file. Ooh. Now, this is actually two letters. If there's a dot over here, that's a Sheen. If the dot is over here, that's a seen, not sin, seen. So there. Sometimes it's a sheen, and sometimes it's a seen, but it's one file, and this is the, we'll call it the Sheen file. The Sheen is the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Sheen represents teeth. You can see that. Teeth. It looks like Bugs Bunny. In fact, the Hebrew word sheen is the Hebrew word for tooth. So, one, by way of introduction, the Sheen file emphasizes Bible doctrine, God's word as spiritual food. The word of God is spiritual food, something you can eat. Something you can eat, metabolize. Two, metabolized doctrine in the heart develops God's problem-solving devices. Metabolized doctrine in the heart develops God's problem-solving devices, and that enables you to handle anything. So you find a local church where the Word of God is taught faithfully, consistently, and you get there. I mean, you have a free will. You're free to come. You're free. I never invite anybody here. I have never invited one person to come here. You come, you have a free will. You're free to come. If you want the Word of God, this is the place to be. Here and get the Word of God taught. There are a lot of churches in Las Vegas, but if you want the Word of God, this is the place to be. It is taught here 5 times a week. So metabolized doctrine in the heart develops God's problem-solving devices, which enables you to handle any situation, any circumstance in life. Three, this metabolized doctrine in his heart enables David to cope in these times of historical crisis and national disaster. But hang on, folks, because we're headed for historical crisis and national disaster in the United States of America as well. So what is going to enable you to just clear the hurdles and glorify God? Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, God's problem-solving devices. Four, this metabolized doctrine in his heart has brought David to spiritual maturity and occupation with Jesus Christ. Most of you are quite familiar with our prayer list. And our prayer list, a lot of these are people that are either here and locally and assemble in this local church to get Bible doctrine, or they're getting Bible doctrine from the email classes or the MP3 classes that are sent out all over the country and the world. And I know these people, even though they're not here, some of them are here. And I know that they're facing adversity. I know they're facing suffering. Sometimes it's health problems, different things. But I also know they have the doctrine. I pray for you, but my prayer is you will apply God's problem-solving devices to your time of adversity and glorify Him in times of suffering as well as in times of prosperity. You know the doctrine. You have the problem-solving devices. I pray that you will use them, apply them, clear the hurdles, and glorify God in your suffering. And every winner believer is going to have suffering for blessing. That's a fantastic thing. It's an honor, it's a privilege to have suffering for blessing. You reach spiritual maturity, you're qualified for suffering for blessing. And that is a great, great honor, a great privilege. You have the doctrine, you have the problem-solving devices. You take those problem-solving devices, you apply them to the suffering, you clear the hurdles, you glorify God. Sometimes God then removes the suffering, sometimes He doesn't. But you still have His problem-solving devices, and you have in your soul personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ. You have self-contained happiness, and because of that, you, even in times of adversity and suffering, you glorify God. You clear the hurdle. And that means for you the most phenomenal blessings awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. 5. This metabolized doctrine enables David to know the Lord Jesus Christ, which he does, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, which he does, and have maximum confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maximum faith rest life, which is spirituality at the time he lived. Maximum confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maximum faith, rest, life in these times of adversity, historical crisis, and national disaster. So, verse 20 starts out in the King James. We always start with that. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. This is the cow perfect of the verb shamer plus the noun nephesh with the first person singular suffix plus the conjunction vav prefix to the hifil imperative of natsal with the first person singular suffix. The first verb is shamer. Shamer. S-H-A-M-A-R. Shamer. Couple of things about this verb. Shamer means to keep, to watch over, to protect, to guard. Keep, watch over, to protect, to guard. 2. David knows the Lord, that he has protected him many times from dangerous situations and enemies in the past. David knows that the Lord has protected him many times from dangerous circumstances, dangerous situations, and enemies in the past. He's seen it again and again and again. And every spiritually mature believer sees that. Every spiritually mature believer. You see, shamer. What is shamer? Shamer is the verb for the wall of fire. David saw the wall of fire around him over and over and over. Every winner believer sees the wall of fire around him and God delivering him again and again and again. And the winner believer sees that And he has absolute confidence because he's seen it again and again and again. Two, David knows that the Lord has protected him many times from dangerous situations and enemies in the past. David knows that the Lord has protected him many times from dangerous situations and enemies in the past. Three, shamer is the wall of fire verb. The wall of fire verb. I mean, I've seen this so many. The thing is, a lot of people in this church have seen the Lord's wall of fire around me as well. I was driving home from Dallas Seminary. 1,500 miles, I think. I went nonstop. Drove 1,500 miles nonstop, which meant I got tired. And I forget where I was, but I was driving along and I was passing a semi. I remember pulling out to pass a semi. I didn't wake up. I didn't wake up till I was just ready to hit a bridge abutment. And I swerved to miss the bridge abutment, and then I looked in the mirror, and there was the semi behind me. I go, wow, doggone. I said, Lord, let me pass that semi. And then he woke me up, so I missed the bridge abutment. Some of you have gone hunting with me. None of you will ride with me. But you've gone hunting with me. And I was going along, and I'd been up getting everything packed and loaded, and I didn't get much sleep, and I'm driving along and I fell asleep and went off the road. But the road, I went down a steep incline, and I'm pulling a trailer with ATVs on it. And first of all, I hit the reflector on the side of the road. Bang! That woke me up. And then I'm going down. And I'm going, oh, shit. I'm going down. And I'm going to roll and roll and roll. I know. I got down to the bottom. I didn't roll. I look in the mirror and the trailer's still there with the ATV still on it. I go, wow. So I drove along in the bottom down there, and everybody that was following, they're all crying and, oh, Pastor Olson's dead and all that stuff. And I drove to where there was a little dirt road going back up on the highway, and I drove up to the highway, got out, a big smile on my face. Well, it wasn't my time to go, folks. I guess the Lord wants me to keep feeding you, so let's get in, and I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to fall asleep for a while. Anyway. Would anybody like to ride with me? That's what I want. But I've seen over, well, on my Rocky Mountain goat hunt, 11,000 feet. It was close to 11,000 or 12,000, right up there. And we're at the very top, walking on rock slanted like so. Slanted like this, and then it goes down about 200 feet. And I'm walking along here, and I slip. And down I go, right to the very edge, and there was a little lip on the rock, that big, and my boot caught that right there. And my guide heard me sliding down. I thought if I sat down, my britches would catch on something. No, I went faster. And then caught at right at the edge. And he turned and looked at me, and he's shaking his head like this. I said, you know what? His name was Mitch Bezzetti. I said, you know what, Mitch? I think we ought to go all the way back and go down around and walk on nice ground. He goes, no. We have to go about 20 more yards and we'll be in good shape. I said, I know, but I almost went 200 feet and I wouldn't have been in good shape. And Colonel Horvath was with me, and he said, yeah, I think that would be a great idea. And there was a deer hunter with me. He says, I don't want to go any further either. So I could have gone to heaven on that. You go down 200 feet, and then you go up to heaven. That's really slick how that works. So I've seen it again and again and again and again. And I have absolute confidence of the wall of fire that the Lord puts around me. And he puts around every winter believer. For, having seen the Lord's wall of fire around him in the past, he is faith resting it, that it will continue during the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. Having seen the Lord's wall of fire around him in the past, he is faith resting it, that it will continue during the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. 5. David has seen the faithfulness of God in his logistical grace, blessing, and support of him in the past. And therefore, David has confidence in the Lord's continued logistical grace, blessing, and support during this national crisis. David has seen the faithfulness of God in his logistical grace, blessing, and support of him in the past. And therefore, David has confidence in the Lord's continued logistical grace, blessing, and support during this national crisis. And then we have the word nephesh. That's N-E-P-H-E-S-H. Corresponds to the Greek psuche. It means soul, or sometimes life itself. First person singular suffix, my life. And then the verb natsal. That's N-A-T-S-A-L, natsal. In the cow stem, natsal means to strip, to plunder. In the niphal stem, it means to be delivered. In the hifil stem, which is what we have, it means to cause to deliver, to snatch away, to cause to deliver. The imperative mood, again, this is the imperative of entreaty. This is a polite entreaty from David, spiritually mature David, to God the Father in his prayer. So, one, many times in the past, perfect tense, many times in the past, God has delivered David from certain death. Many times in the past, God has delivered David from certain death. He's seen it again and again and again. 2. So now, in the present, the imperative of entreaty, he is making an entreaty to God the Father to deliver him from the crisis of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. Many times in the past, God has delivered David from certain death. So now, in the present, this imperative of entreaty, he is making an entreaty to God the Father to deliver him from the crisis of the Absalom Revolution and Civil War. 3. He is saying, Father, may you be caused, may you be motivated by your grace, by your integrity, your holiness, your righteousness and justice to deliver me in this national crisis. See, God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. David knows that. He's infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinitely fair. David knows that. So he prays, may you be caused, may you be motivated by your grace, by your infinite integrity and virtue and fairness to deliver me in this national crisis. So the corrected translation of verse 20 so far, you have protected my life in the past. Wall of fire. Wall of fire protecting David from certain death. Now, may you be caused or motivated to deliver me in the present crisis. And then he says, let me not be ashamed. This is the negative al joined by a makef to the cal imperfect of the verb bosh. We have the subjective negative al. The objective negative in Hebrew is lo. This is subjective negative al. And it expresses a wish. The subjective negative expresses a wish. This is a wish expressed by David to God the Father in his prayer. This is a wish expressed by God the Father, by David, to God the Father in his prayer. And then, bosh. B long O S H. Bosh. Now, bosh generally means to be ashamed, to be put to shame, to feel ashamed. It may also mean to be disappointed. It can mean to be confused, confounded, or to be disturbed in one's mind. So one, David has great genuine humility. He has great genuine humility. Two, he knows that God is everything and that he is nothing. That is the genuine humility of a winner believer. The winner believer has genuine humility. The winner believer knows God is everything and he is nothing. Three, David knows that the worst thing that could happen to him is to get back into the cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. When he failed miserably with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. So he knows that the worst thing that could happen to him is to get back into the cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Four, this would result in him becoming ashamed and disturbed in his soul. So he says, corrected translation, you have protected my life in the past. Wall of fire around me. You have protected me from certain death. Now, may you be caused and motivated to deliver me in the present crisis. Do not let me become ashamed and get back into the cosmic system. For I put my trust in thee. Conjunction key joined by a makef to the cal perfect of kasa plus the preposition baith with the second person singular masculine suffix. Key. K long I. Causal conjunction. Because. Correctly translated because. And then kasa. C-H-A-S-A-H. Kasa. Great, great verb. This is a faith rest verb. In fact, point one, kasa is one of the strongest words in the Hebrew for the faith rest life. One of the strongest words in the Hebrew for the faith rest life. Two, it was used of a rabbit fleeing into the cleft of the rock for protection. Rabbit fleeing into the cleft of the rock for protection. 3. Kasa means to seek refuge, to find shelter and protection, to take refuge in. The preposition bath is in, second person singular masculine suffix, in you, in God. You have protected my life in the past. You've put a wall of fire around me, protected me from certain death. Now may you be caused to deliver me in the present crisis. Do not let me become ashamed, get back into the cosmic system, because I take my refuge in you. I take refuge in you. Maximum faith rest life. I am living the faith rest life. Well, this is a... We finished the exegesis of verse 20, but we haven't pulled it all together. We'll pull it all together next time. And then we only have two verses left in Psalm 25. And then we're in our next book in the Old Testament. What book will we be in? If you guess it right, you win the lottery. $1 million. I'll write the check. It might bounce higher than the church, but anyway, I'll write the check. What book will we be in after Psalm 25? All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.